Good evening. We're going to get the meeting started. If everybody could grab a seat, that'd be great. Welcome everyone to the Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name's BJ and I'm an alcoholic. For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with a serenity prayer. God,
grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. The restrooms are across the hall and up a small flight of stairs. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. This evening, we are discussing step 10. Please help me welcome our panel. We have Jim and Ryan. All right. Like I just said, tonight we are discussing step 10, which is continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So I will read the first paragraph, which tonight's going to be on 84, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. So page 84. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. We have entered the world of the spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We discuss them with somebody immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Jim?
My name is Jim, an alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
Should I qualify, or is this good?
That's you.
So, my sobriety date is June 28, 2006. My home group is the Early Bird Breakfast Club, 6:30 a.m. on Laskin Road, if anybody wants to come to the beach. Welcome you to come there. I have a sponsor, and I am a sponsor, so we are. I'm here. Let's see. This step for me started out when I was early on. I read past a bit of it. I read the first part, which to continue to take a personal inventory and continue to set wrongs, which I read as to review my day, and if I had harmed anyone, apologize. It didn't help me at all. I was agitated and discontent many days, and by I would get home and then I would review my day, and all during the day I was working through anxiety and things like that, and get to the end of the day and then realize I needed to clean it up the next day. So I ended up day after day in a state of anxiety and discontent. A more thorough reading with my sponsor, we got to the meat of it, which is to notice these fear and dishonesty and things during the day when they crop up, and to immediately ask God to remove them and call someone to speak about it. These are things I do now routinely during my day. It has made my all days pretty good, because anytime I am anxious, nervous, afraid at work, if I feel the need to be in a confrontation with someone, I look at that and realize it's a fear response. I need to figure out why, ask it to be removed, and move on with my day. But I'm rambling, so I will turn over to Ryan.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Ryan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ryan.
Am I getting into this thing? So, step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. When I first got to AA, I remember looking at the steps, and the big ones that seemed like they were going to be horribly difficult to me were steps 5, where you have to talk about things, because I am awful about talking about things. I made a lifetime practice of giving people as little information as possible to get them to leave me alone. And the other one that really, really freaked me out was the amends step, having to go and sit in front of people and admit that I was wrong. That was a new thing. I wasn't even an I'm sorry person. I was a disappear or hide out in the background until you're not mad. And looking at steps 11, to me that just seems like pizza cake, couple of prayers, no big deal. But the things about steps 10 and 11 I've discovered is that they want me to do this every single day for the rest of my life. And I've learned after time that there's really only two things I want to do every single day for the rest of my life, and that's sleep and eat. I have found steps 10 and 11 surprisingly challenging, and it is a constant effort to keep them in place in my life. And frankly, I wouldn't have even bothered worrying about it, except I really, really understand what it means to be powerless. I really, really understand what it means to be beyond human aid. Because prior to becoming interested in the steps, I won't even say prior to coming to AA, so we'll say prior to becoming interested in the steps, I had done everything I could do to try to get sober. I had just explored all of those traditional human options. I had been through the doctors and the rehabs, run through the families, tried on my own more times than I could count. And so when I started hearing people in Alcoholics Anonymous starting to talk about a spiritual approach, it hit a little bit of a light bulb. There's something I haven't tried yet. And so this stuff is really kind of what saved my life, this spiritual approach, because it wasn't until grasping onto that that I was able to stay away from a drink. I think the longest I ever got was 4 months sober. And I love step 10, actually. There's a We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. So I'm supposed to start doing this right when I start making amends. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. That was kind of another tough one for me. I want to get everything right away. I want it to be the overnight matter. I want to read the book once, take the steps, and all of a sudden, bing, perfect Ryan who never makes any more mistakes. I don't ever want to feel angry again. I don't ever want to feel afraid again, you know, and so it was incredibly frustrating for me to like find that these things were still occurring. As a matter of fact, I was like kind of freaking out, like, what am I doing wrong? Why is this still happening to me? You know, and apparently that's just because I'm human. It's going to happen. It took me years to like calm down with that stuff a little bit. But the good news is that when these things do pop back up in their life, as they are bound to do, it gives me some things that I can do about it. And they're all, every single one of them is important to me. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, and resentment and fear. That one's big for me because a lot of times I don't know what I'm feeling. Like, I was walking around for, I'm going to say it, weeks, sometimes months on end, and all I could tell you was that I was screwed up, and I had no idea why. Like, I couldn't put words to, like, hey, I'm angry, or hey, I'm afraid, or oh, I've been a little bit dishonest over there. You know, I was jacked up, and I just didn't know why. I remember one time calling this guy in AA, and I was driving home, and I was very upset, and I called him up, and blah, 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 and, you know, all of a sudden, he's on the other end of the phone going, oh, you're angry, and it just kind of, like, stopped me dead, because I had no idea, you know, I couldn't put words to those things, and it's really important, because if I don't know that these things are happening to me, then there's absolutely no opportunity for me to do the next things on the list. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm not going to talk about it. You know, I'm not going to go make amends if I've harmed someone. You know, I'm not going to resolutely turn my thoughts. You know, I'm just going to do what I've always done, which is to walk around grinning and bearing it as best I can, trying not to spew my chaos on you. And I'm really bad at that. So once I've realized that this has happened, ask God at once to remove them. You know, and that's a prayer. And that always reminds me of step six, that these are things that I can't control. These feelings of anger and fear. I love in earlier in the book when it talks about resentment, where it talks about we could not even wish them away, resentments. We could not wish them away even though we would have liked to. You know, because I don't want to be angry. I don't want to be afraid. You know, I don't want to be selfish and I don't want to be dishonest. But me just hoping that I'm not going to be that way or trying as hard as I can not to be that way doesn't produce very much. It's just me walking around pent up. So I've got to ask for God's help, you know. We discuss this when someone immediately. That's one another one that was hard for me, or still be. I'm a lot better than I used to be, but like I said, I don't really like talking about things. So what happened was I was really eager to take the steps. I was really excited about it. So I did this really great fifth step. I went over to my sponsor's house. I laid everything on the table, and then I promptly went back to keeping things to myself, you know, and it's just this horrible combination of like fear and pride, you know, like I don't want to trust anybody. I don't want anybody to know what's going on. I'm afraid of what'll happen if I tell you the truth, you know, pride, Little Miss Perfect here. I got it all together. I'm spiritual. I don't need your help. And oddly enough, it was trying to help another alcoholic that helped me clear through a lot of that. There was two girls, I tell a story a lot, but there was these two girls I met in AA, and they had a couple, they were brand new, and they looked a little screwy, so I went up to them and I started to talk to them, of course, to offer them help. And they didn't want my help, but we became close friends. And here were these two people who were being honest on a level that I hadn't been in years. And hearing them be honest and just put stuff out there was what allowed me to start being able to talk about stuff. And then finally, make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. I'm assuming that they're meaning that you're supposed to realize you did something wrong and immediately admit it. I'm going to have to be frank. That really probably only happens about 3 to 5% of the time. The rest of the stuff I do wrong, I'll usually catch like on a nightly inventory. Upon reflection, I have to first get through that barrier of it's fine, it's not that big a deal, it's not their fault, I really did do something wrong. It's like a little battle. So that one's definitely still a work in progress. And then a big one, resolutely turn my thoughts to someone that we can help. Obviously, I've got a lot of stories about how I've done this wrong, but there's one that pops into my head where I actually would use this pretty effectively. I was at work one day, and I got a phone call from a customer, and somebody else in our company had not done something that they were supposed to do, and now it was my problem. And so I got off the phone with this customer, and all I can think about is what they didn't do and how it was affecting me, and now I've got an upset customer, and I realize that I'm literally just staring down at my desk, doing absolutely nothing, just thinking about all this stuff. And so the first thing to do is to ask God to remove it. So I did that, discuss it with someone. I'm gonna minor stuff I'll talk to anybody about. So I did, I chatted with somebody at work about it. I hadn't harmed anyone, thankfully, but then resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. And that doesn't always have to be like a big epic thing for me where I'm like gonna rush out and like find some sick drunk and get him sober. In that instance, the way that I could be helpful was to do my job and take care of the problem that was at hand. And it didn't go away right away. My mind likes to come back to stuff. So there was a lot of resolutely turning my thoughts to someone that I can help. And finally, love and tolerance of others is our code. Holy bananas, I would love to be able to do that. That's definitely another work in progress. Tolerance, like I kind of laugh because AA really was where I started to learn tolerance because I couldn't leave. I would come to AA, I call it having your AA bubble popped. When you get here and you see the spiritual game and then you realize that they're like all human beings and they're not perfect, you know? Yeah, I know, it's crazy. You know, so I did. I would come to AA and I would get very angry because all these people weren't perfect. You know, what's going on here? And I couldn't leave. That's my normal thing. It's like, screw you, I'm gone. And so I came here and I had to start to be around people that were just as flawed as I was and to be caring towards them, you know, and not be rude or whatever it is that I do. And then that love thing, that's interesting. Yeah. Definitely not there yet. My friend, the two friends that I was telling you about, they're starting to trick me into the love stuff. I was talking to them on the phone, and my one friend, she always says, I love you, before we hang up the phone, and one day I accidentally said it back, and it was really weird, you know. So anyhow, but that's part of the growth. I was listening to a speaker tape the other day. He says, this isn't a maintenance step, this is a growth step. And so while I might be banging my head against the wall a lot, these are the things that help me grow. These are the things that'll keep me on track when I tend to be way off base. I can always come back to this and get recentered. Thanks.
Thank y'all. All right, the next reading is also on page 84. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition.
That paragraph is what kept me in Alcoholics Anonymous. Absolutely. The thought and backed up by home group members reinforcing it as this is true. This is the truth. This isn't, you know, the sales pitch. To be able to, from where I was, absolutely drinking nonstop, wanting something to drink when I got up in the morning, all the way until I passed out at night. It was a concept to be able to not be tempted by liquor was almost too good to be true. I heard the ninth step promises in many meetings, and I was like, well, that's nice. But have you read the 10th step? That's what I want. I want to get to the there where I have, you know, where I'm neutral to alcohol. This has come true in my life. I find myself, you know, ceased fighting anything or anyone most of the time. When I am in a fit spiritual condition, what people do around me does not bother me. When I'm anxious or I have something that I haven't, that I should share that I have not shared, if I'm keeping a secret, you know, it's all the little things, all those little, you know, dots on the page. I can get wanting to not fight, but certainly confront somebody, and to have the presence of mind to let that go, give that to my higher power to deal with. It's not something I should be involved with. To be seldom interested in liquor. My family hid liquor from me, and Jim's in the room. Oh, put that away for the longest time, and I appreciated it sort of when I first got sober, but as I've gone through the steps and worked up to this, you know, neutrality thing, which I have today, and I pray to God I'm going to have it tomorrow, but it was difficult for them to understand that watching me do absolutely anything for a few ounces of vodka, anything, to, you know, you can have one, I'm fine. They could not comprehend the shift in my world, and it's the joy of this program is that the temptation can be lifted. And I can't pick a day. So I turned around and went, wait a minute, something has happened, because I just drove past the liquor store and didn't stare at the sign. I didn't notice that the liquor store just closed, you know, which I would do in my early sobriety, and oh, the liquor store is closed. So I guess I'll have to stay there until tomorrow. But this, this being fit spiritually is a big piece of it, and the prior part of the step where, you know, I'm continuously watching myself and watching what's going on, and like Ryan said, it's like sometimes, you know, that night or maybe the next day I realize, eesh, I need to straighten something, but this is not difficult to do. if I apply myself and do it. It's not, I'm not being asked to climb Mount Everest every day. It's just a few simple things to do. So.
Yeah, I was not as impressed by the 10-step promises as Jim was. I was actually in love with the 9-step promises. They don't read them as much as they used to, but I remember, what was it? You will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it, and I just like pined for that. But it took somebody pointing it out to me, and I was like, holy crap, yeah, those are probably the most amazing promises in the book, big book. You know, I remember when I got out of my first rehab facility, I was terrified to go into a grocery store because I might accidentally drink and mess it all up. You know, and a lot of the things I hear sometimes about like ways to not drink, I kind of like laugh about it, you know, like because they're not going to work for me. You know, avoid people, places, and things, you know. I moved. I'm pretty sure that's the biggest, easiest way to change your people, places, and things, you know. And I got drunk. And with booze, it's really, really hard to avoid it, you know. Like, I got to put gas in my car, you know. I can't afford to send somebody to the grocery store for me every week. You know, my Nana likes her Jim Beam. She does. You know, I want to see my Nana again, you know, or triggers, you know, handle your triggers. I don't even know, what do they do for triggers? You know, like avoid them, deal with them differently. And I always laugh because my trigger was being conscious, you know. So the idea that I'm just not going to want booze anymore, that I'm going to be safe and protected, was pretty huge. For the obsession for me got pretty bad. Depending on where you are in the progression, it may or may not be that bad. But, man, I was thinking about booze 24/7. It was either how to get a drink or how not to drink. That was, like, pretty much all I thought about it. So for that obsession to just disappear, that stuff is mind-boggling. And if there's anybody here that's new, that can't fathom something like that, the best way I know to explain it is to talk to you about beets. I don't like beets. I don't eat beets. When I wake up in the morning, I don't think, wow, I would really like a beet today. I don't go on my lunch break thinking, man, I would really love to have a beet. I can't wait to get off work and get a beet, man. And I don't get off work thinking, I gotta get a beet right now, I'm gonna hurt somebody. You know, I just don't think about it. You know, and that's how it is with booze today. And it's shocking to me. And with them, when it talks about, like, if tempted, we will recoil as if from a hot flame. Like, that happened to me. I remember being, a couple weeks, couple months, and I can't even really remember. And working through the steps and that obsession disappearing. And one day I'm sitting in the drive-thru at some fast food place, and I had, like, some old tea with some lemon in it that had been sitting in my car for like a week, and it was summertime and I needed to dump it out so I could make room for my new drink. But I opened the lid of that and I guess it had fermented, and I'll tell you, though, it smelled like booze. And before I could even think, that cup is going right towards my mouth. It was like instant reaction. And the next thing I know, I'm like, oh my God, no, and it's coming away from me. You know, how did that happen? You know, how do we go from a girl who always drinks to someone who's like, whoa, no, thank you. You know, that wasn't me. What else is it saying here? You know, we see that a new attitude towards liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. You know, the truth is I never figured out how to not drink. You know, and that was the great mystery. I spent years of my life trying to figure out all kinds of games. I was even resorting to post-it notes, you know, and I never figured it out. Never. What I did is what somebody told me to do. He put it so perfectly. I say a lot. Stop trying to fix something you can't fix. Work on your relationship with God and see if that stuff doesn't straighten itself out. And that's what I did. I stopped trying to fix something I couldn't fix. You know, I took the 12 steps, and that obsession was just gone. I found that position of neutrality, you know. I didn't swear off. The problem was removed. I don't walk around cocky or afraid. You know, a lot of the things that I hear in AA sometimes, like, you got to remember your last drunk. You know, I don't walk around thinking about my last drunk 24/7 just so I don't take a drink. You know, it just happens. You know, I got other things that need my attention, you know? That's pretty amazing to me. It says that's how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. You know, I've been quite fortunate. I think I've been tempted to probably a real temptation maybe twice. And what I can tell you is in hindsight, there was something the matter with my spiritual condition. You know, a buildup of fear, usually, anger. You know, the things that it's telling me to, like, pay attention to in the previous page. Me not paying attention to any of that stuff. I got it. Fine. Thank you. I don't need any help. You know, going about my business. And all of a sudden, that is a little bit tempting, you know, because I need relief. So, thank you.
Thank you all. Okay, our next reading is on page 85. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. Jim?
Yes, let up. That's the thing you do when you're done. Right? I've finished the course. I've completed the study, and I've gotten through my 12 steps, and now I'm fixed. But that's the trouble. I'm not fixed. This stuff just continues, and I have come to believe that I think differently than many of the people around me. Not many of the people in this room, but many of the other people in my world. And the willpower, it is the proper use of my will to continue to try to grow spiritually, to look for angles that I, you know, previously did not see a higher power in my life at all when I came to AA. Excitement, if you will, of the joy of actually realizing that many of the things I had written off to chance or to coincidence, perhaps they weren't. And I opened my mind up to the possibility that maybe that's my higher power. Maybe there is something, you know, going down that lane of study is a lifelong pursuit. I'm watching, continually reading, trying to stay open to other ideas and other religious ideas, other spiritual ideas, other people's ideas in meetings. There's many people in my meetings that I would never meet day to day. And hearing their learning through the meetings to listen to that viewpoint, whether I'm absolutely opposed to it or not, has helped me realize that there is more way than mine, right? It's not my way or the highway, which is the way it used to be. You know, it was really difficult because I found myself surrounded by bumbling idiots. Nobody understood the reality, right? I know the right way. It's my way. And to open up to that there is even another way was a big step. But now I find it refreshing to sit and listen to everybody's view, you know, other people's viewpoints about spirituality, about God, about anything, and realize that I don't have to, they're not wrong, right? I'm not right, they're not wrong. Just to hear where they're coming from. My daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition? Absolutely. If I let myself wind up and miss a bunch of meetings and not return phone calls and not make phone calls, and you know, it's that gyroscope is in me. It has not been removed. The thing that, and Ryan said is absolutely true, I tried to quit drinking for about 15 years. Honestly, putting effort to trying to stop, and I could never find a way. Couldn't do it. You know, where I ended up was, you know, mixers are irrelevant. We're just going straight all the time. So it was pretty horrible. But again, this is another fairly simple thing to do. To want to grow, to want to learn. I want to learn about this. It's not something I have to do. It's something I get to do, and it's it's really fun and keeps me on an even keel.
Thank you. So, easy to let up on the spiritual program of action. I remember when I first got sober, that idea was absolutely baffling to me. I was one of those annoying people that was like super gung-ho about the steps. Like, I wanted to write inventory. It made me nauseous to think about it, but I wanted to do a fifth step. I wanted to do amends. I wanted to help people. I was so excited about it. And when I would sit around AA and people would be talking about, like, letting up or not doing stuff, it absolutely baffled me. I was like, how can you not do this? It's so simple. It's so easy. And then I hung around for a while. And I realized how incredibly easy it is. It is very easy to not take a few minutes in the morning and at night to pray and attend to those things. It is very easy for me to not talk about stuff and just blow it off because it's fine. It's very easy for me to just avoid you rather than making things right, you know? It's very easy for me to go talk to my friends instead of looking around and seeing who the new folks are. You know, that's definitely. And what it says is that we're headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. And I think what they're talking about there, I'm pretty sure, is getting drunk again. You know, if I don't maintain this stuff, I'm going to get drunk again. And the other unfortunate reality of that is I might kill myself. I had a friend told a story about a lady was several years sober, pulled up in front of a hospital out in Virginia Beach, called them, said there's an organ donor out here, and then shot herself. You know? Yeah. It's so easy for me to sit in here and be lighthearted because I have a solution and because I enjoy laughing. I think that's useful and valuable. But the realities of this is pretty stark. And it's easy to forget that because it very rarely happens right away, right? If I told a lie and then 2 days later I was drunk, I might pay a little more attention to this stuff. But what happens is it takes a long time to accumulate. I've heard lots of stories of people with 20 and 30 years sobriety going out and getting drunk. So off of the stark subject, I see other, I have let up, not to the point, obviously, of suicide, and quite fortunately not to the point of a drink, but I start to see other forms of trouble develop in my life, and I'm going to assume that that precedes the insanity of the first drink. You know, it starts to show up in my family life, because my mom's calling me up saying, hey, where you at? I haven't heard from you in a while. You know, because all I want to do is sit at home. It shows up at my work life. All of a sudden, people, they don't want to talk to me anymore. And maybe the one of my technicians is threatening to quit if he continues to work under me. You know, it shows up in my sexual life. You know, all those ideals that I spent time developing earlier on the steps, all of a sudden, maybe I'm making too big a deal out of that. No big deal. You know, or maybe I end up in Central America, you know, eating the weed cake. All these things can happen, you know, and they're signs for me, you know, that something is wrong. Every single one of them is an opportunity for me to stop short and say what the heck is going on. A lot of people, even myself, talk about myself, you know, sometimes I get into this mentality that there's like a mean and punishing higher power, that the discontent and the bad things that are happening in my life is like some kind of punishment, or that I'm not doing things right and all that stuff. And for me, it's a sign of a kind and loving God. You know, it's God trying to get my attention, like, hey, something's wrong. You know, hold up, stop short. You know, we were all born with like pain receptors. You know, I got pain receptors in my hand. You know, why do I have that? You know, that's to my benefit. I mean, the pain hurts. That's so that if I stick my hand on a hot stove, I know to take it off. You know, so when I'm encountering obstacles in my life, I believe that that's my high power, not punishing, but telling me, hey, you might want to take your hand off that stove. You know what I mean? Because I am not cured of alcoholism. And the reason I cannot be cured of alcoholism is because this is something that is physically wrong with me. You know? And I say that, it's important, because if this is just a mental problem, if this is just an emotional problem, I can get myself some therapy, you know, fix my life, do whatever it is I need to do, and then I can go drink again, because I'll be able to keep it to two or three. You know, I have a physical problem where whenever I take a drink, we're going to lose control, we're going to go balls to the walls. I cannot get rid of it, you know, never going to get a cure. And then where it talks about every day is a day when we must carry a vision of God's wills into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And I make that matter way too complicated. I spend a lot of time, not so much anymore, but I spend a lot of time trying to figure out like what job God wants me to have, what boy God wants me to have, where God wants me to live, you know, all that fun stuff. And I've come to discover God's will for me is more like be honest, treat people decently, you know. And when I get confused or lost on that, there's a really great question. Instead of sitting there trying to figure it out myself and torture myself with what the answer is, I can just ask, you know, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And it says, these are thoughts which must go with me constantly. I'm going to call that one another work in progress. You know, we can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. And I kind of like that. I'm kind of glad I like that reminder just for me in my life right now today. Because I will. You know, I get distracted. I get distracted by work, by friendships, by things that I got to do. And all of a sudden, I'm not worried too much about what God's will in my life is, you know. And that's how I'm supposed to be using it. A little less time, like, planning my vacation, perhaps, and a little more time thinking about visiting the grandma. I don't know. That seems about right. Thanks.
Thank y'all. Our final reading. Oops, excuse me. That's the wrong page. Actually, I believe that wraps it up, right? Is that what you guys have?
That's it.
All right.
That's
Can we have a hand for our wonderful panel? All right, we will now pass the seventh tradition basket. The seventh tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, which is to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all the groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. At this time, are there any AA-related announcements? Yes.
Hey, Stephanie.
Wakefield Campfire Conference is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It is $70 paid for your meals for the entire weekend. There's girls and boys dorms. You can bring a tent, you can bring an RV. See me after the meeting if you want more details.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah.
I have an announcement. There's some orange flyers over on the literature table. Our group is going to be having supper and a speaker on Monday, October 16th. At 6 p.m., we'll have a potluck supper, and at 7 p.m., Billy H. from Madison, Virginia will be speaking. So we would love to have all of you guys here if you can make it. Any other announcements? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Can I get home group members to raise your hands?
I'm not a home group member.
Newcomers, you guys are the most important folks here. Is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety we would like to welcome you?
My name's Michael.
Michael.
Welcome.
Chris, welcome.
Hey, Michelle, welcome.
You missed somebody.
We missed somebody.
My name is
Aliyah. Okay. Hey, Aliyah, welcome.
Is there anybody else? Glad you guys are here. There is a literature table over there. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase a big book. If you can hold it, it is free. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to me. Reminder, smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. And I wanted to ask, since we had a few minutes, does anybody have any questions for anybody on our panel that would like answered about step 10? In closing, let's thank the panel one more time. Thank you to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on step 10 at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol on Colonial and 22nd Street. Can I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? Aaliyah.
My name is Aaliyah and I'm out of the wall.
Aaliyah.
Our book is meant to be suggested only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to others. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact of us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God and make your books to him and to your fellow. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as we touch the road of path to destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you. For those who would like to join, we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer.
already
fumbling.
Our Father.
Our Father.
Who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our